What the hell? Another 2021 Overwatch League team preview video. This time, it's the one that you've all been clamoring for. I've seen you all in the comments of the Vancouver Titans YouTube channel, and you've all been asking, where's the team preview? When are Platchat doing a team preview? Well, firstly, why are you on their YouTube asking them when you should be asking us? So here we are. It's finally here. The day has begun, and it's the same format that you already know. We're going to go through the tanks. We're going to go through the DPS. We're going to go through the supports. We're going to do an overall review, and we're going to get started straight away, diving right into the tank line. And who have we got? Well, it's none other than Shredlock and Fried, the dynamic duo.
FRD.
Yeah.
Nathan
Fried Gobble. Wiener.
Shredlock was on the team last year. He looked quite... he was one of their, like, more, I feel like, standout players.
Oh, my. Okay. Matt, I know that you're trying to be very nice here, but I don't believe that he was one of their standout players, and I don't believe that you can say that with a straight face.
He was there. He stood out.
He did show up in the kill feed a lot.
He was there in the kill feed. Like Johnny said, he was there.
I think KSA was a standout player for them.
Yeah.
I think that would be reasonable.
Shockwave.
I think Shockwave was the standout player for them.
Shockwave was pretty good.
I'm so happy they're back.
Well, what about Shredlock? he's got to be there, right?
I mean, he was near the bottom in terms of the tanks in the Overwatch League last year. The question is, is he going to be improved upon this year? Essentially, we're surrounded by a couple of new pieces.
Probably.
With Fried as an off tank. I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, the bar is buried 6 feet deep at the moment.
Yeah.
It's not too far to beat it. The question is, do we think that this team's tank line is capable of doing so? For me personally...
First, can I ask a question, Bren?
Yep.
Do you think this lineup is... Like, comparing going into last season, would you rather have this lineup or last year's Valiant lineup?
Wait, last year's Valiant?
Yeah, like going into the season. Not when you knew they were good already.
I would... Good question, actually.
What a great question.
Yeah.
I
think I still would have said the Valiant, but...
Are you only asking tank line or the whole roster?
Yeah.
I was kind of asking all roster, but, you know, you knew that Lustre was good in contenders and was going to surprise a little bit. You know, you could compare, like, McGravy to FRD a little bit. Maybe you would have insight to be like, yeah, Dreamer is this, like, good Reinhardt. And, you know, I think Dreamer will be better than Shredlock, you know, but, you know.
That's a very good question. And I think the answer is quite close, but I would have to give the edge to the Valiant.
How are you going to bag this team? They won 950K.
950. Oh, yeah. Total winnings. Total winnings nearly a million with this roster. Yeah. I think it's only fair to make the comparison with Vancouver Titans this year compared to Vancouver Titans last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, is this tank line better than it was last year? Fried has put up all right performances in the past for the Atlanta Reign. He's more of a veteran than KSA was. He's playing on lower ping than KSA was
as
well.
I was going to say, yeah.
The ping
is probably huge.
Is that going to make a functional difference? I don't think so.
I thought KSA was the better part of that tank line last year.
Yes, I would agree.
Pretty down there.
Yeah.
So far, we are... I mean, apologies to any Vancouver Titans Pizza Hut fans out there, but it's not looking too hot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a positive way to spin this, and the only thing I can think of is that at least FRD's played in the league before, and he has some idea of... And at least all of these players have played in the league before, actually,
yes.
Because now none of them are actually rookies. So, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure that was the issue.
Could you say, though, like, you know, they did kind of just get tossed into it, right?
They did get tossed
in the middle. Yeah. You know, you're playing with an off tank who has extremely high ping, although he was good. Like, you know, maybe now with the full off season, understand what you're actually getting into and getting into, like, the practice cadence and playing more against the top teams. Like, there's a better chance to improve.
Yes,
possibly.
I also think, though, that they lost an enormous asset for this team in Shockwave, like an enormous asset.
So. Yeah, let's talk about the DPS then, because that leads us on quite nicely. Shockwave was the main
piece of this team, essentially driving him forward. He was unreal. And now he's going to be gone. But they have added some new DPS players in the form of Lynx are coming in, obviously, and Teru, who's the newest addition to this team.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, the thing is, when it was just Lynx and Dalton alongside him, you were wondering, okay, there's some definite flexibility issues here. Kind of crossing the roles a little bit. Dalton was kind of shoehorned into a role he was uncomfortable with, I think, last year. Yeah. But generally speaking, in terms of their comfort roles, okay. And Teru has come in to try and fill those, I guess, flex DPS gaps.
Yeah.
But again, unproven. It's like this unproven concept in terms of the talent that they just seem so insistent on with the Vancouver Titans.
He got benched from his contenders team as well. And the VODs that I was watching, I wasn't that impressed with. But the thing is, when you have so few data points to view Teru under, how do you have any idea how good he's going to be when he comes into the league?
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do I trust Vancouver Titans staff to have scouted really effectively? And the answer to that, honestly, is no. Like, the Vancouver Titans organization has been a poor organization over the course of the entirety of the Overwatch League. The mess that they made previously. And that doesn't mean their coaching staff. That means the overall organizational staff. And I think that the decision-making this season to retool the roster has been questionable at best again. And I just don't really... I don't have faith. I don't have faith in them like I would have faith in, like, a Packington or Gumba. God bless them wherever they are now.
Well,
you know, I don't have the same level of...
We made it two team preview episodes before, I guess, I'm giving a hot take. Wow. That's... Okay.
What is it? Let's hear it.
Whew. Okay, so I do think you're a bit unfair when it comes to the scouting. You know, maybe you don't have the most faith in Flubby, the coach, to actually scout for this team. He hasn't, you know, really proven it, especially given last year's performance. So, you know, that's, you know, credit to your opinion there. At the same time, Second Wind was a solid contenders team in North America. Like, they repeatedly got top four placings. You know, they made it to the semifinals, or sometimes, I think they a couple of times they made it to the finals. And they were able to scout some of these players in that region, actually, and bring some of these younger players together and scout some good talent. Now, they didn't have the same resources as perhaps, you know, your Envy teams or some other academy teams in that region. So they were able to still get some decent performances and able to scout players without having that same level of resources on Second Wind. Now, last year was a bit of a disaster, and I agree. Like, you know, I'm pretty happy that they're not bringing back some of those players, quite frankly, because it was not the best team. But that being said, I think they've actually raised their floor a little bit, okay? Don't get me wrong here. You know, let me finish. I do think that losing Shockwave was a significant blow. And I repeat what Saito said earlier, like a significant blow to like the roof ceiling of this team. The roof ceiling. The like skill roof of this team, you know? Like they will not be able to just take over a match because Shockwave is not there. Like he could take over matches with his Widowmaker and just like hit heads. Like his stats were incredible and just take over games. You don't really have someone that can do that anymore unless Linkster just like channels his old self. He has some decent performances. But overall, I think that they've increased their floor a little bit. So if they can gain some kind of consistency to their play, whereas with Shockwave and Dalton, it was just like so volatile that like one day Vancouver Titans would show up and another day they would just got to get plowed by the San Francisco Shock, right? I think if they can perhaps get some decent teamwork going, some synergy, and that's where their coach really can come in handy because he has like the experience in contenders and delivering some decent results and bringing young talents together. That's where I really think this team could find some solid ground in that they're able to gel together, you know, find some terms of consistency, synergy, etc. That's where I'm really looking for this team to become better than last year. And I think when you actually look at it, Teru didn't have, you know, the best performances in contenders either because, as you said, he got benched sometimes. But it was in that Futures match for that exhibition Apex match. He was on Team Toby. He had some decent performances, I think, in a way. Like, he had some Dragon Blades that were good. He had some decent Doomfist performances. And overall, pretty potential, like, pretty skilled projectile player that could bring it sometimes. He's a bit volatile as well. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad. But I think there is something to this team and something to be said about them being able to come together as a team and looking a bit better than last year, because I don't think they're as volatile anymore, and I think they can find some consistency. But that being said, they're still like a bottom three team, so I don't know why I went on this round.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, though, and I do think that it's reasonable to say that they've probably they'll be able to work from the base that they set out last year and slowly be improving. Like, they'll probably be better. But are they going to be better compared to the competition? I don't know. Like, the competition has leveled up.
Everybody's gotten so much better.
Yeah.
I just think it's you cannot come out the gate and just be like, there's no hope. They're dead.
I agree with you.
They're like, some of these players are like probably the worst in their position in the league. Like, I'm not happy to name names here, but like, some of these players are probably the worst at their position in the league. But I'm not going to come out there and say that this team doesn't have a chance. They have no potential whatsoever. Because I do think that Flobby, as the coach of Second Wind, he has some history of bringing teams together and actually making something of it. Now, they're not going to take over the world. They're not going to beat the top teams in the league. But they could have maybe a good meta. They find their groove. Maybe they're able to unlock something in tier 1 like Genji and find like a meta that works for them and get some decent results. But I'm not going to give up on this team out the gate.
I mean, they had a whole offseason to figure out.
Looking at the support line as well, as we're shifting along as well, you've got Rolf and you've got Fire coming up. Fire's been obviously a veteran presence. Same with Rolf in terms of the Overwatch scene. Yeah. Rolf, I think, had some great moments last season, actually, in terms of... I'm not going to make the claim that he was the best flex support or at least pushing top five, but I think he was serviceable in that role, a very competitive role for the team. But I don't really see, again, this support line lighting the world on fire. I don't see them setting this team on the right path. Maybe this year, the support structure around it, I'm not talking about the support line itself, but I'm talking about, obviously, what you guys are talking about with the coaching, with the scouting, with the vision. Maybe there's something there that can set this team on the right track. Maybe they can find some composition during the right moment that will lead them to some upset wins. Maybe we'll all be surprised here, because at the end of the day, we are talking about, even if you're the worst players in the Overwatch League, you're still in the Overwatch League, which is essentially the best of the best.
I think this team is going to be better than last year's version. I think the issue is that there's so many good teams in North America next year. That I think if this team was like just played everybody competitive, you would be like, yeah, this is a good year. Like, this team could lose a bunch of games, but you could kind of turn back at the end of the year and be like, I mean, look at all of the crazy teams you have to deal with. I mean, you look at a team like the Atlanta Reign. You don't even put them in like the top, you know, five potentially in NA. And like, that's a pretty good team. Even Boston is like leveled up, right? Houston as well. Dallas, we know what they've done to their roster. So, I feel like it's going to be very tough for them to find wins, but I still think like with how strong it is, like they could have a little bit of a down season compared to last year, but still be a better team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it a little more real, I think. I think this team, the only thing they can do is keep working on themselves and try and become as good as they can be. And then from there, it's in God's hands. It's on like a team completely booming themselves and Titans overtake them. It's on like the European teams, just the ping is unbelievably poor. Yeah. And so the Titans overtake them naturally. Houston Outlaws crumble as Jake tries to take over the world and Vancouver Titans overtake them. Like, they are, in my opinion, they are relying on outside factors to do anything notable this season. That's how I'm looking at this team.
God, that is brutal.
But I don't think that's crazy, and I also don't think that that's a bad situation for these players to be in, because these players can still get as good as they can get. I'm just saying that as high as I see this team being, I still can't see them out of their own skill being able to make it above the top three level, unless a meta goes incredibly their way or teams around them implode. But that happens every season. There's always a team that shits the bed. And as long as you can make sure it's not you, you're going to be fine. You're not going to finish last place.
Well, is this the most competitive we've had just kind of like top to bottom rosters in the league?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, you look at this team and imagine if this team was like a team in season one, like they would have been like, you know, middle of the pack, probably. Yeah.
They would have been middle of the pack. They seriously would have.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they remind me of they remind me of the original Florida Mayhem, is what I wanted to say. But I think, yeah, maybe they're a little bit better than that. A little better.
I mean, old Houston, like season one Houston.
What I find a little disappointing about this team is that they added veteran talent instead of taking risks on upcoming players. Because to me, if you have a bottom level team and you don't want to spend, the way to get results is to take risks. And adding Rolf and Fire and Linkser, you are not taking any risks. Oh, not adding Rolf, but keeping, you know, keeping Rolf, keeping Fire, keeping Linkser. They've been around since time immemorial. You know what you're getting from them. And so that's why I say it's kind of out of their hands. Like, who's going to be the player that exceeds expectations? Teru, probably.
Teru, that's yeah. It. I mean, maybe Lynx's passion, or like, not passion, that's the wrong term to use, but Lynx's
drive
gets reignited, yeah. And he becomes the consistent peak player that we know him to be. There's a lot of ifs with this team. It's the biggest takeaway, I think, for us. Now, we have 3 minutes and 35 seconds left.
I think if this team makes a playoff run, you'll have to make a movie about it. It'll be like the Mighty Ducks. Yeah. It'll be like assembling like bird formation. Yeah, it's so like, that's the level it's at.
I would love to see that happen. I mean, the last time when we did the Valiant discussion, we rated the Valiant before they added their new players. And then once they added their new players, we had to raise them up the power rankings a lot. With the LA Valiant getting rid of all of its current player base, if they manage to snag a few, or if the Vancouver Titans make some late additions, then we might have to put out an emergency episode and change in our final power rankings where we're putting the Vancouver Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Do we want to give them a little scorecard at the end?
Yeah, my scorecard, I mean, it's going to be sitting in the lowest tier. Yeah. I mean, there's no other real place for them. These are the expectations of this team, where they're being set. Now, having said that, last year I was pissed off at the state of the Vancouver Titans because I think they gave players opportunities, but they didn't allow them to succeed. I felt like those players, so many players in the Overwatch scene, they worked their entire careers as an esports player, as a professional player, looking for that opportunity to showcase what they've got. And I felt like they didn't really have the opportunity to do so. Players like KSA, who I thought were some of the strongest points of their tank line, was playing on 190 ping the entire time, you know, despite the fact that I think they had potential. But this year, hopefully the players are in a better position to pop off. Hopefully they're being set up to succeed here. And I agree with you. I think this is a better roster than last year's iteration. Yeah. And the trouble is, the rest of the league, as we've already mentioned, has improved alongside them. The bar has been raised, and quite significantly so, I think, in certain areas. A lot of teams are really leveling up this year.
They totally
are. 1 minute 40.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know anybody who hasn't put them at 20th.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody, and I don't know the argument other than, like, if you truly believe the European teams are just going to get boned by the high ping games,
maybe
you could argue that Paris and London are below them, but... other than that, I mean, it would...
I could see this team maybe performing well in a meta where it's double hit scan.
Sneak out a few wins, I think.
Maybe. Well, sure. Against some teams with weaker hero pools, maybe. Some unplanned meta that develops. Maybe Tira comes out and he's an echo god. I don't know.
Maybe some like Genji Ashe and just like Nana boosts Tira and Genji and have Links on like Ashe in the back.
Yeah.
Just like shooting heads.
If you're a Vancouver Titans fan, then you are hoping and praying that your DPS line massively exceeds expectations. And you're also hoping and praying that various things happen to the other teams in the league.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. Matt, quickly, give me a scorecard right now.
They're pretty low.
Okay.
But I Johnny? Believe,
grade
though,
a D, because they're going to get a D.
A D, yeah. Whoa, okay. I was all right.
Josh?
Yeah, I'm going to have to give them the D, unfortunately.
Okay, wonderful.
But I wish them all the best. I wish them all the best.
I think they're punching.
I believe.
Pull it off.
No, I'm joking. No, I agree with you guys. I think they're sitting at the bottom. This has been the 2021 Vancouver Titans team preview. I'm waiting until I have 5 seconds left. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. 3, 2, 1. We'll see you next time.